Welcome back. This is the Paula Gordon Show. Bill Russell and I are pleased that Thomas Lux is with us here at the Commerce Club. You do more than just call out the world in your own words. You also are actively engaged in giving other people the ability to do that. Tell us a little bit about the Georgia Tech. This is the Georgia Institute of Technology, the rambling wreck from Georgia Tech. Honest to goodness, it really is. First time I met you, you said, it's not an oxymoron.
Well, we call the program Poetry at Tech deliberately, and to get that kind of response. Poetry at Tech? That's the comment we most commonly hear with a question. My answer to that is yes, just yes. Georgia Tech is a great university, one of the best in the world. Should they teach literature and poetry and some of the arts as well? Of course, it can only make it a little bit greater. But a few years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, two different people, one a former president of Tech, Dr. Henry Bourne, a longtime professor there, and another man, H. Bruce McEver, a Georgia Tech alum, independently of each other, right around the same time, decided to endow chairs in poetry at Georgia Tech, believing that it was needed there. And I was invited to be to hold the first chair, which is a rotating one semester a year job, the McEver chair. And I did that in the spring semester of 2001 and loved it and loved Tech and loved Atlanta. I loved the students at Tech. And they offered me the other chair, a full-time job, beginning a year later. I went back to my old job for a year and then came back this past fall. And basically my mission is to take poetry where it hasn't been taken before at Georgia Tech, and they allowed me to invent the program, how we're going to best serve the vision, the generosity of these two men, and how we're best going to serve the art form. And giving it away is how you keep things. And the idea that a great university, it's in a community. I believe a great university should share its riches with the community in which it exists. Georgia Tech believes that too, by the way, and we're doing this long before I had any input in this poetry program. But
where in the community are you going?
Well, we go. We have adult classes for adults that are taught by the visiting McEver writers every spring. Free poetry workshops taught by the visiting McEver writers, who are always prominent American writers. And then we go into schools. Last year we had programs in public schools, younger kids and some high school kids. This year myself and all of the three visiting McEver poets are going to be going into high schools all around Georgia. So it's just trying to share this, the generosity of these two men, with the community, as well as serve the Georgia Tech community directly, the students there at Georgia Tech. So it's been a terrific opportunity, possibility, responsibility for me, and it's been a great pleasure to be able to honor the vision and the generosity of these two men who thought this was important for Georgia Tech.
What happens when you get into, say, a high school?
Well, it's usually sort of prearranged that you'd give a reading to as big a group, say an assembly or something like that, and then you go to a couple classes, and either they're ongoing English classes that are teaching creative writing, or the teachers bring together before you get there a group of kids who are interested in poetry. It's just to introduce kids to poetry who maybe have never heard it before, and to let them know, too, that it exists at Georgia Tech. I work for Georgia Tech. I work for the state of Georgia, and my mission is to serve that the university, first of all.
I grew up thinking of poetry, and this is probably why I got away from it, as a very private experience. People read poetry, and occasionally some lovesick swain would take out his poetry book and try to impress a young woman. And then there was the obligatory memorizing poetry and reciting it back in a relatively unpleasant process.
Unpleasant for you.
Unpleasant for me. Well, probably
and for me.
And for me,
well,
too.
And for my listeners, I might add. And now I mean, it is now in many ways a performance art. You mentioned slams, and I'm not sure everybody knows what a slam is. You also have brought together thousands of people without the three semis and the light show and to say more about this performance piece and the public piece of it.
Well, poetry always was an oral art, a spoken art, up until really modernism.
You're talking about always, all the way back to the Homer
caveman days. I mean, poetry began with people dancing around a fire, chanting things about hunting or about things like that, death, birth, fertility things. That's how poetry began as an oral art form. And it's going back to those roots. So there is an element of performance to it. But that doesn't mean you have to jump up and down or you don't use props. You don't wear costumes. It's just the human voice. Trying to read poems directly and with a certain amount of energy and verve, not just this recitation on the page, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's human speech. It's human being, one human being trying to talk to another human being. And that's poetry's roots. So
Until we sat here talking, I had not thought about how deeply embedded in the oral tradition poetry is.
Sure.
So it's almost as if we've gone through a blip when it went quiet.
For almost a century, yeah. For most of the 20th century.
In this country. It didn't go away.
In this country, yeah. But most all over the world, too, and it's changing all over the world. About the only country it really was different was in Soviet Russia throughout the Stalinist and the Khrushchev era, because what poets were saying was more or less forbidden, i.e. they were just writing personal love poems and things like that. It was more or less forbidden by the state. And poetry had a huge audience in Russia during those years. But since communism fell, poetry in Russia has nowhere near the popularity that it had 20 or 30 years ago.
So is poetry revolutionary?
Maybe. People went to readings in Russia then because it was forbidden. It was forbidden to write merely personal poems. You certainly was forbidden to write anything against Stalin, etc. You could die for being a poet in the Soviet Union, and many did because they insulted the regime.
Tell us a little bit about this phenomenon that is the slam.
The slam poetry, it was started in maybe the late 70s in Chicago, and it's simply poets getting up and reciting their poems. Sometimes they read them from the page, often they're memorized. And they're judged by the audience. Random people are picked out of the audience, and they're asked after each poem is read to give a numerical, like a diving contest or something.
It's competitive poetry.
9.3, 9.1. people add it up. They're very lively. These poets have no interest in being obscure. They want to be understood. There are certain rules. You can't use props and stuff like that, but they often do read very dramatically, and they jump up and down sometimes and things like that, but they can't use props or costumes. There's strict time limits, etc. It just brought poetry in an audience that it didn't have before, and slams never take place at universities, or virtually never, or colleges. When poetry started moving away from the base of just the academy and going out into the community, that's when its popularity began to change. And I credit these slam or performance poets, they sometimes are called now spoken word artists, I credit that movement with a great deal of this new interest in poetry.
Is any of this, do you think, this is highly speculative, a reaction to the extreme literalness of the pervasive medium that is television?
Maybe. I mean, I think it's an alternative to television and other kinds of traditional entertainment. People are looking for something intense and maybe something a little different and new. But it all goes back to what poetry always did for human beings, which moves them. It makes the blood start rising.
And you can do it in short pieces.
Sure, yeah.
Doesn't that shortness have something to do with it?
I think that has a lot to do with it. short, intense bursts. Yeah, I think the in slams there's a time limit. I don't know what it is, a minute or two or something.
Well, I found like as I was picking your poems up over the course of the last month or so, I could do that in just a couple of minutes and then take it with me when I was doing the next thing and think about it and let it cook. Yeah. That the very shortness of it.
Well, one of the main differences between prose and poetry is compression or distillation. Poets are supposed to try to, I believe, to try to do more with less. My poems have, over the years, gotten shorter and shorter. I just don't want to have anything in poems that aren't absolutely necessary to be there. But there are longer narrative poems that are much longer. I tend to be a lyric type poet. That usually means a shorter poem.
Thomas Lux is our guest. We'll have a couple more minutes with him when we return from the Commerce Club here in Atlanta. Bill Russell and I and Thomas Lux invite you to be with us when we return.